Welcome everybody this morning, those of you that are here in the building, those of you that are in the parking lot, and those of you that are watching us around the world and listening to our podcast in about 40 countries and most of the states in the United States. We're thankful for your presence, and we know that God's been feeding all of us. This is fresh revelation, and I'm learning more and more what it means to be saved. I've been saved a lot of years, but I'm finding out some new stuff, and there's no end to a God that has no end, amen? So if you have your Bibles, I want you to turn to 3 John. This is our keynote verse we've been using, and we're going to cover some new ground this morning, and we're headed toward Galatians 5 at some point. I don't know if we'll get there today, but we're headed that way. And we want everybody to welcome Elvis to church this morning. He's back in the building. So the things that I'm using, I'm doing a lot of study. Most of you all know that I'm not a note. Make sure that I don't miss anything that the Lord's teaching me. But we are going to get a little new stuff in here today. Some stuff that we take for granted. I thought I knew what it meant to be saved, born again, redeemed. And I knew a little bit, but I'm learning more what it means to be born again. And most of you that have been listening either or coming to the services, you've been hearing what it means, what the Spirit is. It's an import from another source. And we're going to talk about that again this morning. What that really should be doing for all of us, what it really means to be saved or born again. So 3 John chapter 1, verse 2. Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things. Everybody say all things. I heard you all out there in video land. Just as your soul prospers. So now we are back to our drawing. I want to show you once again so we can all get going in the right direction. This is your life. This is who you are. Unless you're not born again, then this part is dormant, dead. You don't have a spiritual life. But you have a soul. You have a body that's functioning. And if you're born again, if you've been saved, if you've repented of your sins and ask Jesus to forgive you and to come into your heart, and you started following Him, now your spirit life has come to life. You got an import into your dormant spirit, and it came to life. And then you have the soulless man, who I've just discovered in the last few months as the Lord took me on this journey, is divided into two parts. But your soulless man is functioning before you're ever born again. That's why you have the ability to make decisions, basically. That's what happens in the soulless realm, because he reasons things. Now, before people are saved, before they're born again, before they surrender their lives to Christ, you and I both have recognized some people are better with their soulless man than others are, right? Because they've been trained better, or they've been exposed, whatever. They've learned how to use their soulless man. Some people are better at reasoning than other people, right? Have you ever seen somebody do something stupid? Maybe the person you see in the mirror, and you thought, how did they do that? What made them do that? All right? I'm thinking that a little bit right now with a lot of stuff that's going on in our country. I'm thinking, what sane person thinks our nation would be better off without policemen? And I'm just going to have a little prayer for those in authority right now, for every law enforcement agent that loves God. You know, it's like when a preacher falls, they get mad at all preachers. When one cop does something horrible, they label them all that way. So let's pray. We got law enforcement in this congregation, as a matter of fact. So let's lift them up before the Lord right now. Father, we lift all of those people who are in authority, all of those who are getting a bad rap. We pray, Lord, for those that are followers of you, Lord, that you'll protect them during this season. But we also pray, God, for those who don't know you in any vocation, Lord, but especially that vocation. And we pray that they will know you, that they will be directed by your Spirit, Lord, when they have to deal with people who are unruly or who are breaking the law, that they can be not only use their reasoning, but they can tap into the spiritual side of that, Lord, like you have given us an opportunity. So we pray for them, Lord, in all of our nation, that you'll protect them. You know, I had an opportunity yesterday, and let me get into that later. Let's go on here. He says, "Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health just as your soul prospers." So your soul has to prosper. It's going to affect your health and your own prosperity. And we had a little injunction here, I felt like, from the Holy Spirit about Jehovah Jireh in our service time, that he's our provider. He brings provision, right? So if you want to prosper, have the provision that you need over and above, and that you want your health to prosper, then your soul is a part of that. How you think, what you dwell upon, what decisions we make, all of our emotions, our will, and now medical science is catching up with God a little at a time. They'll never catch up with God, but they do their part. The same is true from all of us, right? I don't know everything God knows, but I'm trying to move in His direction by studying His Word. But they know. They tell us now, and these studies have been out for years, that your emotions, anger, hatred, stress, all that stuff can affect your health. Well, all that stuff takes its roots in the soulish man, right? I touched on this last week because the spirit man, he's not feeding on any of that. He feeds on truth, right? And so the soulish man tries to govern the life by reason. That's why it's a difficult transition for people when they get saved a lot of times, because they're used to running their own life, right? Isn't that what? That's a hard challenge. We're used to calling our own shots. We're not used to checking with God or anybody else for that matter about decisions we make. Now, the spirit man's come to life, and he's either going to give that soulish man a lot of competition, or he's going to help him, depending on how we train our soulish man, right? So your soulish man, he makes decisions. That's where your mind, your will, and emotions are seated. You have a mind, and you have a will, and you have emotions before you get that import from the Holy Spirit when you're saved. So all that's functioning. It's not functioning according to God's plan necessarily, but it's all functioning. You can have people who've been trained good or morally in their soulish realm, and they function morally even though they're not saved, right? We see all that, right? This is really going to open this stuff. And then you have people who've been trained bad, or they've been exposed to the wrong things, and their soulish man does everything wrong or backwards. He doesn't do anything moral or very little moral. And so that's that soulish man working. That's why Paul tells us that you got to renew your mind, that soulish realm, once you're saved, and you renew it with the Word of God. Well, when you take the Word of God in faithfully, you're doing two things. You're feeding that spirit man so he can just get stronger and stronger and stronger. And that's that soulish man and spiritual man are meshed, and that spirit man takes over that realm to where I'm no longer playing in the dark. I'm making decisions based on what I think, what I feel, but now I'm making my decisions for my life based on hearing the Word of God. And that's why the last 2 weeks I've expressed the prophecies we got as a body, because I think prophecy's been lost in the church in a lot of degree, but it's God speaking to people ahead of time. Before thing, now let me say this. I've been preaching for 35 years. And for 35 years, I've never took any credit for anything that happens in any ministry I've been a part of. And I've never given anybody else any credit. I want to say this loud and clear. All the credit and all the glory should go to God. God, and I mean that about the virus and everything. If you've been protected and you've been watched over and provided for during these, all the credit should go to God. Everything. We should all give all the glory to God. Now, the Bible says He'll share His glory with us. He'll back us up. But He makes it clear that all the glory should go to Him. So if you've been provided for, if you've been taken care of, God spoke that word, and He's done a wonderful job of providing for this body. He gave us three words ahead of time, and He's done a great job. And to Him, all the glory should go. All of it should go to Him. He is the one. In fact, Jesus said, there's a scripture in the Bible that says Jesus is going to lay everything that He's gained down at the Father's feet, because all the glory to God should everything go, right? All of that should be His. So our key now is this soulish man that we just sometimes keep operating in, even though the Spirit, now He's going to be operational. We just want Him captive to the spiritual person in our lives. We want Him held captive and moved by the Spirit, all right? So when you take in the Word of God and the enemy brings something that's contrary to the Word of God, then your spirit man, if he's getting fed enough, he'll say, hey, we got chapter and verse over here for that. Don't be looking at that. Don't be going that way. Don't be listening to that, right? That's how it works. And so the spirit man needs to be built up inside of us, all right? Here's some things I want you to consider that I believe the Holy Spirit spoke to me this week. Those who do not trust God's word will not benefit from it. And then I had a chapter and verse that he backed that up with, right? He said in Hebrews chapter 4, he said the word didn't profit them because they didn't mix it with faith. Right? So he's talking to his people. He said the word came out, but that's why it's important for you to listen to what's coming out of the pulpit, no matter which church you attend. If you believe that man is hearing from God, you need to get behind it. If you don't believe that man's hearing from God, you need to find a different church because you need to have confidence that whoever's speaking the word over you is hearing from God. And so the Bible says that those people didn't profit because they got the word like some of the other guys, but they didn't profit them because they didn't mix it with faith. They didn't believe it. That's exactly, and I've been preaching this for the last 18 months, that's exactly what happened to the 12 spies, right? 12 of them went over in the land. 10 of them saw something different, something that looked different than what God said, and they came back discouraged and they didn't have faith. But 2 of them said, hey, we saw the same thing they saw, but God said. And you remember that I said this over and over. When you get a word from God, whether it's a corporate word like we got 3 words, or a personal word, or he speaks something revelatory out of his word, that's the difference between the Logos and the Rhema. The Logos is the written word that we can all read and we all get historical value and spiritual value and theological value and discipleship value. But sometimes, how many know what I'm talking about? You'll read a word in God's word and it'll come alive in you and you'll think, man, that is for me at this moment, for this situation. That's what we call a rhema word. It comes alive. It comes off the pages and you know God's saying, I'm speaking this to you, Steve or Jerry or Teresa. I'm giving this. You know God's giving it to you for that moment. It is a Logos word, but it come alive and God is saying, here's what I'm giving you. For this time, for this season, for this situation. So God can speak. But as soon as you get that, as soon as we get a word as a church, as soon as you get a word as an individual, and you know I've been saying this for months, you are going to get something that's contrary to what God says. That's how the devil works. He throws something up that says, you can't take God at his word because look at those giants in that land. Look how much bigger they are. They make us look like grasshoppers. And then here they all come back. And 2 of them stuck with God's word. The other 10 didn't. And guess what happened to those 10 and their families? They didn't go into the promised land. So you can hear God's word and not benefit from it if you don't mix it with faith. That's true of any of us. Any of us can hear God's word. And that's why I said earlier, last week I said, can God speak in your presence? And if he did, would it matter? Would it matter if God spoke in your presence? Would it matter if he gave you a revelatory word? How many times has God spoken to you and I and he's had to say, well, let's move on. Find somebody else that'll listen. Find somebody that'll sink their faith into this. Let's not be those people. So your soulless man is made up of an outer consciousness and an inner consciousness. Your inner consciousness or your subconsciousness or your inner man is what I call him. He don't make decisions. He works with whatever he's given, right? And so this outer man needs to be influenced heavily by the Spirit so that he's not bringing things in on that inner man that he has to work with that's junk or sinful or deadly or destructive, right? And so that's why I bring this album out every week, because what happens to your soulish man, he gets grooved out. He gets grooved out over time. This is what causes addiction. And this soul, addiction is a byproduct of the soulish man. Because the soulless man gets grooved out over time and he plays his own song. And that inner man, that inner soulless man, if he keeps getting fed addictive ideas and addictive behavior, when he does that, he starts grooving out the album for that. Because he starts saying, this is how we're going to live, right? Whatever you feed down into there, he that inner part of your soulless man starts grooving out the album. And I've said this every time I've got up here. This is Elvis. Elvis' big, beautiful red album. And Elvis is the only one you'll hear if you play this album. It's been grooved out with his songs and his voice. If I try to play this album to hear the Oak Ridge Boys, it won't happen. If I try to play this album to hear Elevation Worship, it won't happen. Why? It's been grooved out for Elvis. See, a lot of people's soulish realms has been grooved out for the wrong things. Now, I'm trying to take you on a journey to where we can get the right groove going. I just come up with that on my own. So you can get the right groove going, all right? Now, one of the examples, and you probably can think of many examples, but I just used this famous singer, Karen Carpenter, who she had grooved out her soulless rim so long that she was heavy, she started believing it. In fact, you all know, and sorry about this to the people who are watching outside, they say a camera puts 20 pounds on you. I really just weigh 136 pounds. It's put about 60 on me. I'm just kidding. But, you know, if you go back and watch a clip of Karen Carpenter, she's not even heavy on a video. She's very tiny. But she had grooved out her soulless person so long to believe that she was heavy, that's the path her life took. Now, it could work in any situation. I just use that as an example. But you can see people whose lives have been grooved out so long that they play the same old song. And that's what causes addiction. And that's what causes things to be so destructive in people's lives. They feed that soulless man the wrong things. Now, I want to take you to Hebrews chapter 4. In Hebrews chapter 4, there's an interesting passage here that we've used before. We used the 12, verse 12, says the Word of God can divide the soul from the spirit. That's the only thing that can do that. Nothing in our world can separate the soul from the spirit. Only God's Word can. Now, and as we'll start in verse 1, because here's the thing. Those who do not trust God's Word will not benefit from it. If you don't take God at His Word, you won't get the benefits of it. Our entire life, mine, yours, everybody, is defined. I want you to hear this, and I want you to write it down if you got a chance. Our entire life is defined by choosing God and His Word over everything else. Our life's defined by whether we do that or not. And so, in 2 Chronicles, what he says, he said, believe the word of the Lord and you'll prosper. Believe His prophets and so shall you be established. I think the first one he said, believe God's word and you'll be established. Believe His servants and you'll prosper. In other words, whenever God's word comes out, we have a choice, right? We have a choice whether we're going to lay our lives into that, whether we're going to live by faith, or we're going to let what we see knock us out of that. So he says, verse 1, therefore, since a promise remains of entering His rest, let us fear lest any of you seem to come short of it. And that's an interesting passage because, number one, we're talking about God's Word. He's the one that gives a promise, right? He gives us a promise. I'm going to show a few things to you here. Now, when you get a promise from God, what is that? That's His Word, right? The Bible makes it clear He cannot lie, right? He cannot do wrong. So when I get a promise from God, a promise is truth. That's God's Word. And truth is different from facts because facts can change, right? Facts can change with anything, the weather, whatever. But truth is a person, right? It is Christ. He is the Word made flesh, according to John. So when I get a promise from God, I get an offering of an impartation of Jesus Himself into my spiritual man. Now, that's what my spirit man's longing for. He's tired of the reasoning. He's tired of the fleshly stuff. He don't want any of that. The spirit man is longing to live by truth. He's after that. Truth is a person. It's God's Word all rolled up together in Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit brings us that revelatory truth, puts it in our spirit man so that our spirit man has the fuel he needs to subdue the soulish man and to direct the body. That's so when you get an import from the Holy Spirit and you're born again, now you got to give Him the proper fuel and give Him enough fuel so that He can grow and expand His territory. Because the territory that the Spirit's wanting to conquer is all of who we are. So the flesh and the soul and the spirit, and He wants to conquer all of that. So that it's not that the soul and flesh no longer operate, it's that they operate according to the will of God, not the will of Matthew, right? Before I was born again, I had the will of Matthew going on, right? And so he says, we are no longer our own. We've been bought with a price, right? so that the will of God can subdue, can be the byproduct of the spirit man getting the import, coming to life, taking over the realm of the soul and the flesh, directing this person, whoever it is, me, you, whoever, so that no longer do I live the rest of my time to the will of the Gentiles, Peter says it, but I live it to the will of God. Now, this stuff's life-changing. It's changing my whole person. I'm starting to really realize that I may have been like my brain. You know, they say we use 10% of our brain. I'm starting to wonder, and I'm just going to be transparent with you. I'm starting to wonder if this preacher who's been doing this for 35 years ain't been tapping into about 10% of what my salvation really has to bring me. Because this stuff is real. What'd Paul say? Paul said, why? He said, I can't feed you with nothing but milk and water because you are like mere men. So there was some expectation for the New Testament church to be above the fray, to be a cut above, which is what hagios means, or holiness in the New Testament Greek word. It means to be a cut. There was some expectation. You think about the Old Testament guys who had, the men and women of the Old Testament, they had the Holy Spirit who would show up for a moment, for a situation, for a cause, and light, and do the work, and then remove. Now, in the New Testament, we have the Holy Spirit abiding forever, and Jesus told his disciples, said, not only is he with you, but now he's going to be in you. And after the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit now can be in us and fill us. Now, I'm thinking, if these Old Testament guys had any understanding of that at all, and David may have, Moses may have, all that kind of stuff, because they had, if you don't know, pay attention, the same thing that happened on Pentecost happened with Moses back in the desert. And so if you don't understand that, if they had any glimpse of that at all, thinking, we just get the Holy Spirit to hang out with us some, these guys that are coming after the resurrection, they're going to get the Holy Spirit to live inside of them, that ain't fair. Right? That'd be the soulless man talking, right? Most of them say, that ain't fair. How's that fair? They get the Holy Spirit to live inside of them, we just get him to show up every now and then. Or they could have been saying, now what? Those guys are going to get the Holy Spirit. I'm looking through the lens of history. Moses and Abraham said, now that the New Testament church is born on Pentecost, the Holy Spirit's not only going to be with them, the Son said, but he's going to be in them. Well, they must really going to be getting a lot done. They'll live in holiness. They'll live without fear. They'll take God at his word. They'll see signs and wonders. Think about it. They probably had some great expectation that the church, and the church in some ways is no better off than Israel was. We've made a mockery of God's word. We choose what men say over what God says. We run our own lives instead of letting him run them. We trust in chariots and horses instead of trusting in the Lord. In some ways, we're doing the same thing Israel done. We got people who live with one half their life in sin, the other half trying to keep it in the church. Same thing. Same thing Israel went through. And why? Because I don't believe we've realized what really is going on when we get that import and the Holy Spirit starts making himself available. Now, here's the catch. The Holy Spirit don't force us to do anything. He's been called the perfect gentleman, right? But he's available, right? And that's the Holy Spirit is the part of the Godhead that you can send yourself into hell with. Right? He said, you can be forgiven for any other sin, blasphemy, but you cannot be forgiven for blaspheming the Holy Spirit. That's how sensitive God is about the Holy Spirit. Why? Because the Holy Spirit is here to help. He's not here to do anything but help. He's not pushy. He don't make us do certain things. He's just there to lead us and direct us. And he wants us to give over our lives so he can control it. Now, in this, and he says truth, he says he's given us a promise, and he says, let us fear lest any of you seem to come short of that rest. So here's what I want to see the church do, not just ours, but the body, the true body of Christ. I want them to enter into rest. I want us to enter into rest, and that's impossible if fear runs in our lives. For indeed the gospel was preached to us as well as them, but the word which they heard did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in those who heard it. So it's very possible that you can hear God's word and not benefit from it if you don't mix faith with it. For we who have believed do enter that rest, as he said. And you know, it's great to get around somebody who is at rest in God. That they don't let the... And somebody said, well, yeah, but all the news, turn it off. How about that? You got to guard your soulish man. You can't sit there and take in everything the world's saying and think you're going to be at rest, because they're nuts. The world's nuts. They think we're nuts. I got news for them. I got a better place to go. They're nuts. And so you can't sit there and take all that in and expect your soulless man to stay at peace. You can't do it, because the world has lost its mind. And I got news for you, and it's not good news. It's going to get worse according to what the Scripture teaches. Now, if you believe what the Scripture teaches, we're just scratching the surface of what's really coming. And this ethnic situation is more prophetic than the virus, because Jesus himself said ethnic group will turn against ethnic group. That's more prophet. We're headed toward the end of the age. We need to wake up. But if you're going to stay at peace, you're going to stay at peace by giving this spiritual man what he hungers for, and that's the truth of God. What can you do with all that information that you're trying to cram in there that's negative and destructive anyway? What are you going to do with it? We would get more done in this country if those protesters would fast and pray, because they're trying to talk to people who don't even acknowledge God. How can you get a mayor who don't even believe in God to meet justice? You cannot have justice with somebody who don't know the judge. We would be better off as Christians to pray and fast. That's how bondages get broke. That's how the yoke gets broke. And that's what God wants us to do. He wants us to get in our closets and do our warfare. That's where the battle's really won. The battle's not the people you see in the streets. It's not the people that took over part of Seattle. It's in the heaven. The devil's laughing about all of this, because he's got most of the world duped into thinking the battle's in the flesh, and he's laughing all the way to the graveyard with it, because most of those people have no clue who God is. We got less than 10%. It's worse than that now because of what's went on. But you got less than 10% of people in this country that attend God's house on the weekend. Less than 10% that honor God with their house. And less than that with their money and their possessions. It's less than the 10%. We're not a Christian nation. We're talking to people that don't even recognize God. We've got atheists in places that we shouldn't have them in this country. We got people in places that shouldn't be there. And I'm tired of everybody getting labeled by one bad apple. I get tired of that. I don't care what color anybody's skin is. A doctor can mess up. A preacher can mess up. A policeman can mess up. We can all. I'm trying not to meddle. I really am. But by the criteria these last few generations have come up with, there shouldn't be any statue up in this country, because there's nobody that's not flawed, including those hypocrites who are tearing them down. Nobody, none of us are, none of, there shouldn't, and I'm not crazy about statues here and there, because I'm not sure the Bible's high on that kind of stuff anyway. But I'm just saying, if the criteria for having a statue is perfect, well, then nobody's going to have one except Jesus Christ, and he's the only one that deserves one anyway. Amen. And he don't need any statue, because he's already high and lifted up, amen? And his train fills the temple of our hearts, and he's alive and well, and he's leading his people into greener pastures in the middle of the world on fire. I love serving Jesus, because I know who wins. I'm on the winning team. I will get justice. You will get justice. I said this before, when that happened in Minneapolis, horrible what happened. But when the Lord looked down and saw that, he didn't see skin color. He don't even talk about skin color hardly in the Bible. He saw two men's hearts. Two hearts is what he saw. And both of those men will be judged accordingly. Both of them will. That's how God works. He said, I don't look on the outward. He told Samuel, actually, when he's looking for David. He said, I don't look on the outward appearance as men do. That's all we look about. I'm not going to talk about it anymore. I'm just calling my brother, sister. I don't care what color of skin. I deal with all kinds of skin colors in my line of work. We have to understand that God's looking at the heart, and that's what this is all about. And he says here, let me go on. I'm trying to get down through here. The gospel was preached to us well then, didn't prod them because they didn't mix it with faith. For we who have believed do enter that rest. As he said, so I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. For he has spoken in a certain place on the seventh day in that way, and God rested on the seventh day from all his works, and again in his place they shall not enter my rest. Since therefore it remains that some must enter it, and to those whom it was first preached did not enter because of disobedience, again he designated a certain day, saying, today, after such a day, a long time, is said, today if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. He said that in David. So God's looking at all of our hearts. Skin color, doesn't matter, God. Jesus was probably in between a black and a white person. He's probably olive skin because he was Jew. So God don't care about skin color. All he cares about is the heart. God don't care about churches and all the structures that men's erected. In fact, he's going to burn them all down to the ground, he said. God's after men's hearts. That's what he's after, men and women's hearts. That's all God sees. I often wonder why God didn't talk about skin color very much in the scripture. Only thing he really talks about how he made all nations out of the same blood. So we all have the same blood no matter what our skin color is. And the one time they made a ruckus about it with Moses because he married an Ethiopian, God put leprosy on him, said, don't be looking at skin color. And I say it loud and clear, don't be looking at skin color. Either they're your brother or sister, maybe they're a sinner. Justice should not see skin color or anything. And that's the way God works. Justice will happen. Justice will happen for everybody. That's why I can rest. Because God will bring justice. It's coming. It's coming. It's coming for murder. It's coming for abortion. It's coming for every sin. The good news is you can escape the justice and the judgment by accepting Jesus because he took your judgment. If you accept him, then you can skip the judgment because your judgment was laid upon him. That's where real justice is at. Amen. Now, if Joshua, now some of your old King James said Jesus here, but it's Joshua and Jesus, same name in Hebrew, so it should have been Joshua. The New King James got it right. For if Joshua had given them rest, then he would not have afterwards spoken of another day. See, Joshua can't give rest. He's a mere man, right? If you put Jesus in there, then you take away everything Jesus said, right? That's why this translation got fixed. Because Jesus said, come unto me, all you that are weary and heavy laden. What? He does give rest. So the Bible can't say Jesus can't give rest. He does. So this was rightly corrected. For Joshua had given them rest, he would not afterwards spoken of another day. Joshua can't give rest, only Jesus. And when Jesus came, that's why Jesus said, my peace I leave with you, not as the world gives it. Right? That's why you and I can live in peace even in a troubled time, because we don't trust in chariots and horses. So, our spirit, once the spirit of man comes to life, he is in pursuit of truth to live by trust. That's what your spirit man wants to do. Now, we're all going to battle because our reasoning man loves to have his way, and he had his way before we were saved. And he's still at battle because the world wants you to live that way, because that's how they live. They don't want you to live by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Now, I want to take you to, we're not going to get to Galatians, but this is going to be important, what I do share. Let's go to 2 Corinthians this morning. And in 2 Corinthians, I'm going to give you some more insight on something we quote all the time here in this chapter, 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And this Greek word that I'm going to show you, Ketesis. And this is the word. I'm going to read you out of verse 17. And then I'm going to spend the rest of my time here before I quit. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now, I'm going to give you, this is going to help you with what I'm trying to show you here. This ketesis is the word that we translated there, creation. All right? Now, let's talk about salvation. When you, like he says here, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, that's what we call being born again, he is a new creation. So if this person, you, me, whoever, gets an import of God, the Spirit, Christ, he's a new creature. All right, let me read you this, how the Greek says this. It says it like this. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are becoming. That's how it says in the Greek. Becoming new. Now, why would it say that? The reason it would say that is because you got a soulish man that's been trained before your spirit man came to life. So he needs to be put in his place. All of us can say that, right? I mean, you can look back and say, wow, I can't. When I really started getting into Scripture, when I was about 16, I really started digging around the Scripture. I started realizing some of the stuff I'd heard wasn't in the Bible. Just hand it off, right? Your soulish man gets trained. And you'll even tell people it's in the Bible. I've been guilty of that years ago. I'd tell some people, well, it's in the Bible. And then when I really got studying, it wasn't in the Bible. I wanted to crawl under a rock where I come out from. You know what I'm saying? So, katesis is creation. That's the word I'm going to define for you in just a moment. But behold, all things are becoming new. That's how it says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things are becoming new. Now, I love that verse because that's what we're in the pursuit of with this teaching. Now, this new creature means this new creation means there's been a framing. Let me write this in here. There's been a framing, the framework, and a foundation has been put in place. Think about that. I'm going to tie some scripture to you now. You may have to go back and listen to this because I know it's a lot of information. Paul said, when you build on what you got founded, be careful how you build. Did he not say that? So you're not complete just because you got an import. You got the framework. You got the foundation. Now take heed how you build. That's what he's saying. Because you've been used to building with your soulish man. You've been used to doing everything by reason. Now you've got a direct line. The Lord's helping me this morning. You got a port put in you where you can get the right fuel now to get this guy in shape. All things are what? Becoming new. Why? Because when I became a new creation, I got the framework, I got the foundation, now I got the port put in where they can fill me up with the right energy, right, from the Holy Spirit. It also, creation is a creative act. In other words, this is something real that happened in the creation realm. We can't see it, right? It's like the wind. Jesus says it's like the wind. You get a new creation. Now, how well are you taking care of that new creation? That'd be the question we all have to ask ourselves. Have you torn the port out where they can't put in the right fuel? It's brought something to life. This is part of the definition of that creation. It's brought something to life that was dead. So we are the guy on the road to Jericho, right? He's left for dead. The thieves beat him. There's so many ways to preach that story, and a lot of it's about responsibility, right? But I'm not talking about that this morning. I'm talking about this guy's life. He's laying there in the Bible. This is an interesting passage because nowhere else in the Bible does it say it. It says he's half dead. That's what it says about the guy on the road to Jericho. He's half dead. Well, how are you half dead? You're half dead when you live in the soulish realm and flesh and your spirit has never been born again. You don't have a creation. You're half dead. And then the Bible says that finally the Good Samaritan stops and he gets the wine and the oil. The wine represents the blood of Christ. The oil represents the Holy Spirit. That's what it takes to bring this person who's half dead to true life. Same thing it took for us, right? You got to have the blood of Jesus and the work of the Holy Spirit. No man comes to the Father unless he's drawn. So you got to have the work of the Spirit and the blood of Christ in order to get this import into you. Once that import gets into you, that is fresh and alive, untainted. But this guy, he's tainted. And this guy just does whatever this guy tells him to do. Now, are you all understanding why I talk to myself more than I used to? Because I'm giving myself commands. I'm going to wet you whistle for next week just a little bit. Everybody out there in video land, everything. You, whatever you mete out is what you get meted back to you, Jesus said. I'm going to tell you a little story so I can wet you whistle for this. True story. A guy was in a company, He had the best sales of anybody in his group. But he had, and I've met people like this, and you have too, he had determined in his mind that the guy over him didn't like him. He just rolled that and rolled that. Well, he run into a guy who understood what I'm telling you today, and the guy said, why don't you quit confessing that and start speaking good over your boss and speaking so that you can change your heart toward him. He said everybody got promoted. And he said once he done that and really it sunk, he started praying, God, give me a heart for my boss and let me, all this kind of stuff. He started doing that, and I don't know how many months it was a few months away. They called him, and they put him as the regional manager over 100 other managers because his inside. Do you realize that God's provision for us is sometimes put on hold because we're not properly aligned in here? There's a lot to say about this, but I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to tell a secret, and there are children in here, and they're going to hear this secret about parents. Sometimes parents could do more for their children, but they're waiting for something in their children to get aligned in the right spot. Am I talking to anybody? You children, close your ears. You didn't hear that. In other words, I want to see some kind of behavior change before I step into that and show them that we can help with that, but they don't see what I'm seeing, right? And so that's how God is with us. We're his children, and God's saying, hey, I got more provision for you, but I need to see this come in agreement with my word. And once that comes into agreement with my word, which is coming into agreement with me, then I'm going to release that provision for you. I heard that word myself before. And so that's how we do it. Man, that was a fresh revelation when God said, I was wrestling with God, and I said, God, turn loose of that. Bring that provision. And the Lord spoke that, and he took me to my own life as a father with my own children. And he said, you wait sometimes to bring provision into their life till you see that they're properly aligned, that they're understanding and seeing what you see. If a 54-year-old like me, 53-year-old, I have to get my soul man all right here. If a 54-year-old has been properly trained by the Spirit of God and he's done the homework he needs to do, build on the foundation and the framing, there's no way a 20-year-old has as much insight and wisdom as a 53-year-old. There's no way. Now, the problem is, I was taught early to go sit at my grandfather's feet, who didn't go past the sixth grade, but he knew what he was talking about. He'd been to World War II. He'd laid on his back with mules before they had modern equipment to work underground. He had been very successful. He never charged anything. He paid for everything with cash. When he died, he owned two or three farms and everything. He didn't make hardly any money like a lot of people do, but he was a wise man. I learned early to sit and listen. And there were times I walked away thinking, that probably don't work. And then 2 years later, I thought, that's the way it works. Right? The problem is we got people who are 50, 60 years old that act like they're 19. They ain't been properly trained. So our generations have been messed up. But you got to understand that's how God treats us the same way we would treat somebody that's coming up. We say, when we see that, we're going to reward that a little more. We see that, we're going to reward that a little more. And that's how God works in our lives. So this soulish man, you may like him, and you may think he's really smart, but he ain't nothing. This is what's coming to me. He ain't nothing. He don't have near the what's the word I'm looking for? The upside that your spirit man's got. Your spirit person has got the most upside. This soulish guy, he don't have near the upside this spirit guy's got. Once this spirit guy gets in his position and takes over the show, that's reality right there. Let's pray. You guys can come to the instruments. We want to thank all of you all for joining us today, and we'll be live every Wednesday and Sunday about the same time, 7:05 and 10:30-ish, 10:35 on Sunday mornings, and we welcome all of you. And before we go off the air, I just want to say, if there's anybody out there that's not saved, you need this import of the Holy Spirit. You need to be born again. So we want to challenge you to surrender your life to Christ and start this journey where your spiritual man or woman comes to life and you can have an abundant life, is what Jesus talks about. You can have an abundant life so that you no longer have to live in fear, but you can live in that rest that I'm going to get into more and more as we go along with this journey. So we thank you for joining us today. God bless you, and we'll see you this week sometime. Let's stand to our feet. Now, I want you to really be challenged in your person to say, hey, you know, there's more to life than just you and I reasoning through everything. That God can give you direct hits into your life, speak directly to all of us. He don't just want to speak to the preacher. He'll speak to all of us, and I know many of you have had that experience. But as we get ready to worship from on, I'm going to open this altar up and just let the Lord speak to you. If you're here and you're lost, we certainly want to invite you to come and surrender your life to Christ. But if you're here and you're that Christian that says, man, my soulish man's got way too much influence in my life. I need to give over more to the Spirit. Well, then come and talk to the Lord about it. And get up tomorrow with a new resolve. Start getting more of that word in you. Let it infuse your spirit into that spiritual port that's been put in you. And let it overcome that soulish man to where you start having that power to not surrender to Him so easily. Father, we thank you for this moment as we get ready to go into worship. Anybody under the sound of my voice, we pray that you'll take them to that fresh revelation, Lord. They've been saved, Lord. They have an import of your Holy Spirit into their life. And now they have true access to all the things of you, God. Help us to be in that spot, Lord, where you can infuse all you want to put in us. And may we remove all the obstacles out of our spirit person's way so that they can have truth and feed on it. And it will govern our lives no matter what situation. May we be like Joshua and Caleb. No matter what we see, may we cling and hang on to your word. This altar's open. Will you come as we worship him?